Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast, home of the Big Ten champion and the Big Ten tournament champion, Purdue Boilermakers. I'm your host, Andrew Ledman. Let's go!
And I'm still Ryan Bonaparte, and we're also host of the Big Ten tournament men's player of the tournament.
That's right. So, I assumed. Yeah, I haven't actually seen the all-tournament team or any of that. I've been running around like crazy after the game. Checking out Selection Sunday. Purdue, of course, you know, coast to an easy victory in the Big Ten tournament.
That's how we put it.
67-65. What an absolute nail-biter. Purdue did everything they could to give this one away, including a turnover under the Penn State basket when they were up by three to cut the score, the lead to one. And then Fletcher Lawyer, with two free throws, only makes one. Oh boy, nothing is ever easy with Purdue, is it, Ryan?
No, and you could feel the tension in the crowd during that whole stretch. Oh my, just press.
It was nerve-wracking. So we'll get to that in a minute, but how was it being there for a title game? I understand you had better assigned seats today, no switching necessary. How was it being in the arena? How was it being on press row?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, being in the second row next to the court is amazing. You know, obviously the sight lines are perfect.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great from the picture you sent.
Yep. So, great time. Everyone behind us, you could just feel the buzz. Obviously, a lot of pro Purdue fans there. I'd say probably 75-80% Purdue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was about 85% full in the UC, so a lot of people there. We actually had a set of both, like, Purdue and Penn State guys right behind us, so you heard both sides of the argument.
Oh, the fans right behind you?
Yeah.
That's
so
fun.
And they were the loud type of fans. So
well, I mean,
you definitely
listen, if I get the seats right there as a fan, I'm being loud because I paid through the nose for those seats, so I'm going to enjoy them.
Yeah, the amount of Penn State fans who were counting when Zach Edey was in the lane.
Oh, God, I'm so tired of that narrative. So tired. If you actually watch Zach Edey, that dude is moving constantly. Sure, yeah. I'm sure if you watch a game, you can call 3 seconds on him every now and then, but that dude is hustling in and out of the lane. 3 seconds doesn't count when there's been a shot. You know, it's these people are just obsessed with Zach Edey. It's to a sick level. They've really got to take a step back.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was nice to see that kind of polarity, and you know, have both fan bases behind you.
Yeah, it sounds like it would have been a lot of fun, especially, I mean, just the stakes were so high, but ultimately so low. Does that make sense? I mean, you want to win the championship. It's something you have on your resume. It's something you'll never forget in your entire life. But ultimately, the Big Ten tournament really doesn't mean anything. So it's like a balance of the two, and Penn State had clearly already punched their ticket at that point. So less on the line for them than you would think. So overall, just a really interesting game. But let's talk about the first half briefly, and then we really, I think, our most of it should be focused on the second half. So Ryan, tell me how the game started. How did Purdue look in half number one?
Yeah, so give me a second here. I have to, remember all the way back. It's been an eventful day. But in the first half, you had Purdue get out, and I like to use three words, bread and butter.
Okay.
They got to what they've done all season long. It was Zach Edey with a post shot, or a post hook shot. It was Mason Gillis putting in the effort plays, getting offensive rebounds and putbacks.
Yeah.
David Jenkins Jr. hitting shots. So it was like Purdue, if you wrote a preview on Purdue of what they've done all season, they did exactly that throughout the first half. And then you had Brandon Newman and Ethan Morton came in and played really well on ball defense on Penn State's guards. And it was a really efficient first half. Purdue went into halftime, I believe, up 8. I think it was 35-27.
Yep.
So it was you were feeling good. And Fletcher Lawyer hit an insane shot.
Yes. Shot clock winding down. Looked like he was just off balance. Didn't really have time to set. And just threw it in for 3. Made it. And sometimes you think maybe that's the kind of shot that can help a guy get his confidence back, because it really does show that, like, his brain basically is shut off at that point, and he's just like, I just have to shoot it. There's no thinking. There's no time to worry about what's going to happen. It has to happen in that moment, and he made it. And you wonder and you hope maybe that'll kick in for him, but unfortunately, as we'll get to, just wasn't the case for him. But I think that's one reason why David Jenkins Jr., shoots so well with the clock winding down, because it's just instinct. You know, you don't have time to worry about anything. You're just like, I have the ball. There's only, 2 seconds left. I'm going to take the shot, because if not, it's going to be a turnover. So you just go for it. And it's more like playing in the backyard versus playing with so many expectations on you.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the first half, you had Zach Edey finish with 15 points, and David Jenkins Jr. finished with 11.
Yeah.
11 more points, and David Jenkins Jr. has 2,000 for his career.
Yep. Yep.
So he's getting closer. If he matches this performance on the next game, he's got 2,000.
Yeah, and I really hope he gets there. I mean, I'm sure that's not number one kind of on his punch list for things to do the rest of this season. He'd obviously love to get to the Final Four, win a national championship. You know, but just from a personal standpoint, for him it would be huge, I'm sure, to go in and score 2,000 points over his career. There are not many folks who can say that. So I really hope, just for his sake, that he does get that. What a career he's had.
For sure. So, and then for Penn State, this first half, they spread the ball out pretty well. Cam Winter ended the first half with 7. Jalen Pickett and Miles Dredd each had 6. So they had several scorers. You know, no one scored more than 7. So they spread it out evenly, and, you know, some shots fell and some didn't. So the second half is where just things happened.
A lot of things happened in the second half. So overall, I mean, the first half, I was very happy with what Purdue did. They weren't shooting the ball as well as they did against Ohio State, but they were playing really good defense. They were very aggressive. Right. They were up on the ball. Smith was doing full court for a lot of that game, both in the first and second half, if I'm remembering correctly. And I really thought guys were really getting up in Penn State and causing some problems, resulting in some steals, and really disrupting the Penn State offense. I mean, if you if you can allow Penn State only to score 27 in the first half, you're going to be pretty happy with your defense. And especially, I mean, Penn State started out 2-for-2 from the floor and then went in on a cold streak thanks to the Purdue defense, missed at least their next five, maybe more shots. And it really, really gave Purdue a chance to kind of get set and get ready on offense because the defense was leading them. And that's what we love to see as Purdue.
For sure. And then, so Purdue came into the second half. They were defending well, and eventually the lead ballooned all the way up to 17 points.
Yes. Let me tell you, when the lead jumped up to 17, I think there were like 6.5, 7 minutes left, somewhere around there. And at that point, I was just, my wife was cooking dinner. I was watching my son to make sure he's not causing chaos. And
right.
We go up by 17, and I just like, I clap. I'm like, yes! I'm like, not screaming constantly, but like, you know, really psyched. I was like, all right, I think that shot just did it. I think we're going to win. And my wife literally, unrelated to the basketball game, was like, hey, I've got a bottle of sparkling wine I put in the fridge. Do you want me to open it? And I was like, no. I was like, not yet. In fact, I know exactly when it was. It was the 7:04 mark. I'm looking at the play-by-play. It was Mason Gillis hit a three, and it put Purdue up 58-43. And at that point, I said to my wife, I said, that is the kind of shot that you win a tournament with right there, that Mason Gillis three. And it put us up by 15. I was just like dancing in the living room. I'm like, this is it. This is over. We have got it. 15-point up with 7 minutes to go. I was like, this is the ball game. We are done. And then the very next possession, Edie hits a jumper. Purdue goes up by 17. You got to think that's the end of the game, right? I mean, 60-43, ball game, right?
Yeah. Little insider information, too.
Okay.
Casey and I sat next to each other for this game, and Casey does his game notes by hand.
Yes, he does.
For the score. Yep. Casey didn't say it out loud, but on the Trey Kaufman run and one to put up Purdue up by 14 at the time, he writes in his notebook, ball game.
No, he did not.
He legitimately did.
Oh, I'm going to have to give him some crap.
But, you know, we all thought it at that point. You know, whether or not we may not have said it verbally, we were all thinking it. And we obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know what happened next.
Ugh.
It's just Purdue had a bit of a meltdown.
Yeah. There's no good way to say it.
Yeah. So the 17-point lead would eventually come down and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle all the way down to one with 6.4 seconds left.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was 60-43, and then Ohio State goes on an 8-0 run after a couple free throws, 60-51, still 4 minutes and 27 seconds left. I mean, that is an eternity for only a 9-point lead. And then from that point on, it really, I mean, was just free throws for Purdue. Edie made a layup with 1:27 left. But that was it. It was nothing but free throws for the last 4 minutes and 27 seconds for Purdue. And even then, they were not guaranteed free throws. We missed some. And that is a surefire way to make a game more more intense than it needs to be, because everything was going wrong for Purdue at that point. They could not hit anything. I thought they were taking some bad shots. Purdue didn't need threes at this point, but we're still taking them. And I just wish we would have worked it inside to Edie a lot more at that point. Yeah. I think it would have prevented the game from getting so close. And my question is this, I know you were at the post game, so maybe you have more information. I haven't seen any of the press conference. I love Matt Painter. I am a Matt Painter defender. I will go to bat for Matt Painter in 99.9. Not mentioned. Okay, hold on. I'm getting riled up. I will go to bat for Matt Painter in 99.9% of situations. I don't know what he was doing as this lead dwindled down. Taking out Zach Edey and putting in Trey Kaufman Wren, switching for offense, defense, like he's out there playing hockey. Fletcher Lawyer being out there so much. David Jenkins Jr. on the bench. I don't understand either of those substitutions. I don't understand the subbing patterns. I don't understand what he was doing. To my knowledge, you know, Edey and Jenkins Jr. were not injured in any way. They were not, you know, asking to be taken out from what I have seen. So no, I cannot fathom leaving those two guys on the bench, given the way they were playing. And no offense to Trey Kaufman Wren. Trey Kaufman Wren had a great game for him. But Trey Kaufman Wren is not the National Player of the Year. Trey Kaufman Wren is not the Big Ten Player of the Year. So to have him out there in crunch time made no sense to me when Zach Edey had just one foul and was ready to go in. I don't get it. Do you have any idea what was going on?
I actually don't, because, and to your point, Trey Kaufman Wren does not shoot 70% from the free throw line either.
Mm-hmm.
So Edey was out there for defense, but not offense.
Right.
So
I don't get it. it almost cost this the game.
Yeah. So it wasn't mentioned in the presser because we were sort of going through with the Selection Sunday stuff. We kind of pushed past the game a little bit. It was a little bit of a head scratcher, especially since Lawyer, you sort of understand a little bit more because of the free throw shooting normally.
Yeah, I was going to say normally, not today.
Not today. I mean, Lawyer ended up going 1 of 4 from the free throw line, and two of them were in a row, and he missed the first three, I think, and then finally hit the fourth one.
Well, it might have. Hold on, I know he missed a pair earlier in the game.
He went 1 for 2 at the very end.
Yeah, he missed a pair at 1:14 left when Purdue was up 66-60. 1:14 left in the game. He missed them both. And then ultimately, you know, they traded possession a couple times. And then Penn State hit a three to go down by just three, 66-63. And then Purdue makes a boneheaded turnover. I have to admit, it was our boy Brandon Newman tried to make a tough pass after getting an inbounds and went right to Penn State. They jumped the pass. It was great defense by Penn State, but Purdue should not have been in that situation. And an easy layup for Penn State to put Purdue up just one with just over 10 seconds to go. And at this point, I'm sweating. I'm imagining this game is over. Everything terrible is going through my head. I'm imagining the collapse. I'm imagining the headlines. I'm imagining all the bad things people are going to say about Purdue. I mean, what were you thinking?
I would have had to rewrite
your whole story. What were you thinking at that point? Turnover.
At that point, I'm like, okay, I need to just delete my entire game wrap right now and sort of restart. that's what was going through my head. But at that point, for the next following inbounds, I was thinking that he should have just done the same thing that they did on the final play, just throw the ball to Zach and let Zach go up and just grab it midair.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah, just do a touchdown pass. If he gets fouled, he shoots. If not, you know, it's great. So, I mean, he's got the clear advantage in height. Everyone on Media Row was in the same boat of like, oh my god, we've been writing our stuff for the, since halftime, and we have to just completely delete everything.
Yeah.
So,
right after that bucket, 7 seconds left, Purdue doesn't even get to pass the ball in. They foul Lawyer as they're, you know, Purdue is running their offense to get the ball in. Which
I feel like that should be like that seems kind of cheap.
That's exactly what I was about to say, because you know they're doing it intentionally, and you know they're doing it to save time so that they don't even have to defend anything. So how is that not like that should be in the rule book as an intentional foul? Team gets a free throw and keeps the ball,
or give them 3 free throws because it's almost always done behind the 3-point line.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a rule that needs to be looked at in the offseason because it is clearly being manipulated because that is an intentional foul. I mean, There's no two ways about it. So they foul Fletcher Lawyer, and not only, you know, we know they wanted to foul, we know what they were doing. They chose Fletcher Lawyer on purpose. I mean, they chose Fletcher Lawyer because he looked bad. He has lost his shot. He cannot seemingly do anything on offense right now. I don't want to be, you know, dunking on Fletcher Lawyer or say that Fletcher Lawyer is a bad basketball player, because he's not. But right now, he is not playing how we need him to play, and he is not making the shots that he made earlier in the year. You know, we've seen that he can do this, but right now, I don't know if it's the freshman wall. I don't know if there's some sort of injury we don't know about. But he is not helping Purdue right now. And that is why I was so frustrated to see him in at the end of the game over David Jenkins Jr. I know you can make the argument that Lawyer generally is a better free throw shooter, but he'd already missed two. He'd missed two a minute ago in the game for game time. So I think at that point you got to say, you know, this guy's got the yips. We got to take him out, put in Jenkins, put in anybody else, because you know they're going to foul somebody, and you need your best five on that court. And Lawyer goes down and makes the first one to put Purdue up two and misses the second one. And I mean, it was just, I mean, they get the Penn State.
Flashbacks?
Penn State gets the rebound, down two. They got a timeout. Purdue gets their timeout too, so we got to wait even longer. And then they get the ball in, and you know everyone in that arena who's a Purdue fan is thinking Penn State's going to take a three. They're going to win. And it's going to be heartbreaking. We've seen it so often with Purdue. Flashbacks to the NCAA tournament against Virginia. But lo and behold, Purdue, you know, does a good job on the inbound. They make it difficult. Zach Edey tipped the inbound pass.
Yes, he did. 7'4", actually, is pretty tall.
Yeah. He's more than just tall, though. But here, being just tall was really all he needed. And he tips the inbound pass. Penn State struggles to get anything. And then travels with 0.6 seconds left. And then they do just what you said. They just throw it in, have Zach Edey touch the ball, clock runs, game over. Purdue victory, 67-65. But, whoo, boy, what a collapse.
Yeah, yeah. And all of this, as well, was done without Seth Lundy. That was the highest scorer for Penn State. He fouled out with, I believe, 3.5 minutes left from for the foul game. And just Purdue could not get it going. So I don't even know who this guy is. Kanye Clary. Like, okay, that's your patented guy goes off against Purdue. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading his. Jalen Pickett was held in check in this game. He only had 11. He shot 4 of 13. Lundy had 19. And Cam Winter had 14. So you live with that, but it felt like a March atmosphere, if that's your silver lining, but you can only do that so many times.
Yeah, so, I mean, survive in advance. We got all the way to the final. We won the final. We got the trophy. So Purdue is both the regular season champion and the tournament champion. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. I believe first team since 2019 to do that. If our research department, i.e. Jed, is right on that. And I assume he is.
Michigan State.
Okay, I have no reason to doubt him there. So first team to do that since 2019. Walk away with two pieces of hardware this year, but the game, you know, the season isn't over. Job's not done, as they say.
Right.
So now we had Selection Sunday just about 25, 30 minutes after the game ended. And Ryan, can you tell me where Purdue wound up, what their seeding is, and who they're looking at playing?
What? We'll start with that. They're number one.
Yeah, they are.
As expected. They are the fourth number one, so they did get the final number one spot. But they're headed to your neck of the woods. They get to go in the East region, and if they make through the first weekend, they will get to play in Madison Square Garden.
You're damn right they will. And let me just tell you, if Purdue gets through the first weekend, I'm going to be watching Purdue basketball play in the Sweet 16 and, God willing, the Elite Eight with a trip to the Final Four on the line in Madison Square Garden, and that is just going to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Get to play in the Palestra and Madison Square Garden in the same season.
Yeah. Just,
Some meccas of basketball.
Yeah, it's, now, you know, for me, when Selection Sunday happens, I get nervous every time. It doesn't matter if Purdue's a one seed or if they, you know, are on the bubble and barely get in.
Right.
It's terrifying because you know you could only have one game left. You could have 40 minutes of basketball left in your entire season, and that's it. And
mm-hmm.
it's for a team that is as special as this team, has done as well as this team, you know, number one ranked for longer than any Purdue team in history, mm-hmm. unanimous number one, been in the top five for longer than any Purdue team, number one seed for the first time since the mid-90s, Big Ten tournament champion, Big Ten regular season champion by three games. It could all come down to one.
National player of the year.
Yeah, national player of the year. It's going to come down to 40 minutes. 40 minutes each day. And mm-hmm. Purdue plays on Friday. Purdue plays at 6:50 p.m. Eastern time on TNT.
In Columbus.
Yeah, in Columbus, Ohio. And we're going to cover the game and what it means and who our opponent is. Well, I mean, we know who – we actually don't know at this point who our opponent is.
Nope.
Because we play the winner of a play-in game. So we still got to find that out. But, Ryan, who are the two options?
Texas Southern.
That's not right.
And
isn't it Southeast Missouri State?
No. That was incorrect on the CBS broadcast, I believe. They put the wrong highlight on there.
Well, what in the world?
Mm-hmm. So I believe it's Texas Southern and, oh, it's some weird name. It's like
Farley Dickinson. Not... Unless they changed it again. At this point, I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, it. So NCAA announced like two different teams because they did say Southeast Missouri State, but then or they put that on the graphic, but they already announced that for the other playing game.
Well, that's I noticed they did that with Howard. They mentioned Howard as the number whatever seed twice, and I was like, huh, yes, you are correct. It's Texas Southern or Farley Dickinson. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't even see that announcement had been made that it was wrong. So, you know, I'm learning things live on the podcast right now.
There you go.
But, yeah, I mean, so at this point, we don't even know who Purdue is playing. So that game will be in the first four, and then, you know, we'll see from there, but... Oh, man, it's just, it's exciting. The women made the tournament, too, we should mention. It was a struggle. We didn't know. They were on the bubble, so it was a lot of wondering if they were going to get in, especially because the women's Big Ten tournament ended a week ago, so they've just been sitting around waiting for a week. Purdue will play in the play-in, one of the play-in games, and they play St. John's, so...
yes.
Hopefully Purdue can get a victory there and then head into the rest of the tournament and have some good games because, you know, Katie Gerrards has put this squad, I think, ahead of schedule by getting into the tournament this year. So it's good to build up the program back to where we hope it can be once again.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So both teams in the tournament, when's the last time that happened?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And Purdue only... is the only major conference school to play both in their football championship game and basketball championship game.
Ooh, that's a stat. Ooh, that, love it. Love it. Now, this time around, however, when I go to that championship game, I was wearing a better shirt. 5-0 in the shirt so far.
Now, listen. Do you do your own laundry, or does someone else do your laundry? Do you take it out? What do you do with your laundry?
Oh, I'm 25 years old. I do my own laundry.
Okay. Don't mess up this shirt. You can wash the shirt. I don't care. But if this shirt goes into the wash machine or into the dryer and comes out ruined, you're wearing it how it looks. I don't care if one of the sleeves falls off.
Media Row is going to love that.
Just my luck,
I'll probably be on the broadcast.
just throw a sport coat on over it or something. I don't care.
Yeah, they'll probably put me right behind the announcers. So when they do their, when you see the announcers talking live, I'll be right behind them.
Yeah, it'll look good.
Hey, guys. Yeah, for sure.
No, just like hold up a sign. It's a lucky shirt. So, man.
And you have your lucky ice cream.
I am eating. I'm currently eating Jenny's ice cream. This one is cream puff flavored, and I gotta say, I've never had this one. Quite good. Quite good.
So, very sugary, I presume.
Oh yeah, I mean, who even looks at the sugar content?
I mean, just like the flavor wise, probably yes. Very sweet.
Yes, very sweet. Quite good. Quite good. I'm currently at the bottom of the pint, but you know what? There are 6 pints left in my freezer, and there are 6 games left if Purdue makes it to the game. So I'm sticking with that rotation, and we're going to use all 6 of these pints of ice cream over the next few weeks as Purdue waltzes their way to the NCAA tournament, through the Final Four, and to the championship game.
We'll be dancing.
That's right. Okay, Ryan, last words on this Big Ten tournament championship team.
Fantastic, amazing, great. I'll see y'all in Columbus.
There we go. For Ryan and myself, boiler up, double champions, boiler up.
Hammer down.